And our Bible reading this morning is continuing on our theme of Christian living, is from the second letter of Peter, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sally's going to speak to us, so from what God's given her. So let's pray for you, Sally. Father, we do thank you so much for Sally and for her calling, your calling on her life. We thank you for the time and work she's put in to hear what you want her to say this morning. And we pray that you will speak to each one of us at our point of need by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning. What a wonderful passage, isn't it? I read it a couple of weeks ago thinking, I always read a couple of weeks beforehand just to see what God's telling me, and I sit with it for a while. And when I read it, I felt so reassured, so comforted by that passage. It just had a real strong effect on me. It just felt very reassuring. That sort of reassurance you get from someone who wants you to feel equipped to manage, to have a real deep confidence. We've moved today to Peter's second letter, and we've heard in the last few weeks about Peter's first letter, haven't we? And the first letter focuses on staying firm in the face of challenge. It gives great encouragement to those tentative, small Christian communities, wanting them to be nurtured, to grow in faith. And then this second letter we hear today, when we just skip on a little bit further from that letter, from those verses we've just heard, it's a verse 14. We stopped at 11, so just move on a little bit. We hear, I know that my death will come soon. Peter tells those communities. And then the next verse, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So after hearing all of that, we then hear from Peter that he's going to depart this earthly life. So he's writing it with that knowledge. I read a couple of commentaries about the passage, and a number of them said they describe the letter as a last will and testament. Changes it, doesn't it, when you hear it in that context? Really reaffirms how you feel from hearing it. And to me, it explained that great feeling, that swell of feeling that I had of that message reassurance, of that real wanting to be aware of God's love and care for us, and of those who read it and read it, them, us, and the future people who read it, of our duty to know, to understand, and to listen to God's word through all ages, and to keep growing in faith. So there's an earnestness in that letter, in what we heard, a wanting, and yet written reassuringly and affirmingly. We know from the first letter, don't we, that Peter's focus was upon living participation in the actions and the doings, in the life shown as Christian people called to witness faith in day-to-day life and for others to see that witness. Peter's time is short on earth when he writes his second letter. And like the first one, it matters. It matters to him. And you can feel that, can't you, when you hear it? Because it has an emotional effect on you. God wants us to hear. And Peter is conveying that message. What you want to say when you know your earthly life is coming to a close really does matter, doesn't it? When you're sharing important things to those you've nurtured, you've loved, you've prayed for, it matters. We hear the word precious, precious. Hear it a couple of times in that, certainly in the Bible reading that I was looking at. He uses it at the beginning, doesn't he? Precious. To those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Precious, a precious faith. And Peter expands upon that preciousness. He tells of God's divine power in verse 3. That God's divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness. Everything needed. The letter affirms the faith as Christians, as they then and we now follow God's ways. He's God's ways throughout all time. And Peter brings us back to the Old Testament within his letters and through into the New Testament, into the life of Jesus. Preciousness, precious faith. In verse 4, precious and great promises. And through following those precious faith and those great promises, that there is escape. Escape from the pulls and challenges of earthly life. Those pulls and challenges, as we talked last week, that take you to other paths. That preciousness. We can escape, says Peter, through that divine power that gives everything needed to us when we follow God's path. That when we follow God's call, we escape from those pulls and challenges. And when we do that, we are called to be participants in the divine nature. Gosh, divine nature, to be called into that. I talked a few weeks about holy, being holy, and how strange that felt, how being holy, but showing holy lives, living holy lives, to me that's, I taught last time, didn't I, that's more manageable, to live holy life. Being holy seems like amazing, but living a holy life, and that's what Peter's saying here. But divine power, go back into the Old Testament, go back to Jeremiah 10, verses 12 to 13. God made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretches out from the heavens when he speaks in the thunder. The heavens roar with rain. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends a lightning with the rain and releases the wind from his storehouses. God made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. Divine power in all creation. And in Hebrews as well. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Through all ages, Old Testament into New, God's power, through God's work, through his creation, through his life in Jesus, God on earth. The very fat character of God by the mighty power of his command, we hear. By following our call to Christian living, we and they then can become participants in that divine nature. Peter explains how this can be accomplished. Verse 5. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness. Goodness. That's the doing. That's the living. That's the showing of the divine nature of God in our lives. Showing it day in, day out for others to see. And then we hear goodness with knowledge. That's the keeping close to God's word, the reading of his word, listening to what God says through his word. Our prayers, our boosting together, our support together, our fellowship together, to gain knowledge together. Knowledge shared in this church community, in Bible study, held regularly in church, in house groups, in prayer meetings. Knowledge shared through prayer. Prayer through visions that people have been given. Prayer through people sharing God's word and what he feels he's saying to us. Prayer through loving each other. So we have, don't we? Let's go back, because there's a line of things, isn't there? Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control, keeping on God's path, his way. And in prayer, when we feel pulled and challenged, and in confession, when we stray from God's path, asking for God's guidance to get back on track, self-control. And self-control with endurance, as we heard in the first letter, keeping focused, keeping going, even when it's hard and tricky. And supporting each other when it's hard and tricky. Endurance, showing over life, showing through the ups and downs of life, that divine nature which is bestowed upon us when we follow that path. God's nature, God's power through all time, here now. And then we go on. Godliness, I think the word was brotherly love, wasn't it? The Bible reading that I looked at, it said mutual affection. Godliness with mutual affection, to show care, concern between us, to be a community of care and mutual support. A community which others see and they want to know more. They're attracted. They want to be part of that loving community where our loving service shines out. So, godliness with mutual affection. And mutual affection, we hear, with love. Love underpins it all. Love that I taught 2 weeks ago. Love that reaches deep in that first letter. Love when it's hard to love. Love when it's probably in our human nature, perhaps the last thing we feel closest to do, because we have so much emotion and we're drawn and pulled. But love in those really tough times. Love that endures whatever, forever. Gosh. Peter cares so much. God cares so much that he wants us to hear that. He wants us to know that. And all these things are yours, they're mine, it was theirs, and it will be for future people who read. Godliness through knowledge, through self-control, through endurance, through godliness, through mutual affection, through love, underpinned by love. And we hear, if we follow that path, it keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive. In the New Revised Version I read, it said unfruitful. It keeps us from being ineffective and unfruitful. In verse 9 it says, if we lack these things, we're short-sighted and blind, and we're forgetful of past cleansing of sins. We forget Jesus' sacrifice, his death, the forgiveness that was bestowed upon us. That's the duty. That's what Peter wants us to hear. And on his last letter, as he knows he's going to die, we hear Peter saying, be all the more eager as we give thanks for what Jesus showed us, for God's love that he gave his son. Verse 10, be eager to confirm your call. Be eager. He wants us to be eager. In confirming your call and doing all those things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. Well, that word was there last week, wasn't it? In letter one. We're called to follow Jesus' way, his truth, his life, because he is the cornerstone. And if we follow, we don't stumble. If we follow, we don't stumble. And in verse 11, we hear, we enter into his eternal kingdom. Enter into his divine nature, living our holy call as God's chosen people. Entering into God's eternal kingdom. Keeping effective and fruitful, through living lives of goodness, with the knowledge of God's word, controlled, focused lives where we keep going, where we support each other to keep going in the tough times when it's easy not to. Living holy lives, godly lives, showing mutual affection and love. Divine power underpinned by divine love. Divine love from God to us, always freely given for us to freely accept. So knowing as we do that Peter writes that as he faces the end of his earthly life, as he reassures, as he longs and wants us to grow in faith, knowing that we can, knowing that he can write He can support those whose faith is, he prays, growing. He wants it to grow. He wants them and us to know of God's divine power. That God has given us everything, everything we need for life and godliness. And we hear how love underpins all. When I was reading it, it echoed all that's in the song about divine power, about love divine. And I'm going to finish the reading in a short while, very short while, don't worry, about, I'm going to finish it by saying the song Love Divine as a prayer, as it was written by Charles Wesley as a prayer. In the first letter, there is an expectant waiting, isn't there? An anticipation of the second coming of Jesus' return. The timing of this was not known, but it was felt at the time of the formation of these early Christian communities, back in the time of that first letter from Peter, that that first coming was to be soon. And yet by the second letter, the soonness hadn't happened. And we hear in that second letter a little bit later on, chapter 3, verse 8, one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. So we get a perspective of time, don't we? And then in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. Be patient, Peter says to them. We wait for a new heaven and a new earth. When we listen to Love Divine, written by John Wesley, and he wrote the hymn as a prayer for the indwelling of God's love in our lives, the indwelling of that divine power in our lives' nature, in the way that we live. We hear in it of unbounded love, of compassion. We hear in that hymn of a wanting to receive God's love in hearts. We hear of God's love through all eternity, Alpha to Omega. We hear of waiting expectantly, finish thy new creation. And we hear of lives, our lives, lost eternally in God's wonder, his love and praise. So let's pray. Let's pray as I read those words. Let's take those words from that hymn. That hymn that we know so well. Dear Lord, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercy's crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of life, end of faith at its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us be. let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen.